We'll be taken from 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, starting at verse number 16. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and always. The Lord be with all of you."
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by both hands, look your neighbor square in the eye. Turn to your neighbor, grab him by both hands, look your neighbor square in the eye. Turn to your neighbor, look him with both hands, hold him by both hands, look him square in the eye, and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
don't.
Don't
give up.
Give up.
Neighbor.
Neighbor.
Don't.
Give up.
Give up. Amen. You may be seated.
Hallelujah.
Hold on. That's right.
We have entitled our message. Thank you. We entitled our message for this service, "Don't Give Up."
Hallelujah.
You know, let's be honest. Can we be honest this morning? Can we be truthful? You know, Sister Fee, sometimes being a Christian ain't popular. There are times, Brother Paul, that folk seem to just pluck our last
Amen.
Nerve. You know, folk look at us as Christians. And sometimes we find ourselves doing all the stuff that Christians ought to be doing. But we're doing it to mask how we're feeling.
Yeah.
So in essence, we're just keeping ourselves busy. But we have not embraced what we're doing, because in so many ways, we have given up.
Well,
why did we give up? We gave up because I got tired of folk talking about me.
Help us.
I got tired of every time I wanted to do something for the Lord, there was always somebody there throwing a roadblock in my face. I got tired because of the fact that
the truth.
It seemed the more, Lord, you want to use me for your glory, it seemed like the more folk just dumped on me.
That's right.
The more, Lord, I went to talk about your goodness and your grace and your mercy.
All right now.
It seems like that gives folk an opportunity to just wait till I leave and speak negatively about me.
Who do you think he is?
Brother Phil, how do we not give up? Because you would think that the whole purpose of us being Christians is that the Lord will give us the strength to endure.
Right.
The Lord would make a way out of no way.
Right.
The Lord would be right there for us. The Lord will always just lift us up.
Yeah.
All right.
When we think that we just want to go down. You see, it's easy, y'all, to be a Christian. When everything is going good. But when your life partner gets called home to glory.
All right now. That's rough.
Can I still be a child of God?
Yes.
When your own health starts to fail.
All right now.
Do you still praise him and thank him?
Lord. Well.
You see, everybody loves Christianity when everybody is loving on you.
Preach, brother, preach.
But what happens when there's no one there to hug you?
All right now.
No one there to encourage you.
Come on now.
No one there to help you.
Well,
can you still say that God is good and that he's good all the time? Christianity, y'all. At times, we wonder, Lord, have you forgotten? my seat.
Well,
just my clothes, Lord, but I'm still here.
That's right.
You see, the life of a Christian isn't a life always appears to be easy.
Yes.
And it's not. Can we be real this morning?
That's right. Come on.
Being a Christian ain't easy. Turn the other cheek. I ain't got but two. Some folks say I might have four, but we're not going to go there. I'll let you figure that one out.
That's rough.
But I got a limited number to turn. I'm supposed to love folk who hate me. Pray for those that try to use me. They want me to go a mile. I'm supposed to say, I'll go two. These are all the things I'm supposed to do as a child of God. And as I'm doing these things, Dr. Aldridge, and after you do it and do all that, then folks still. Look at you like and treat you like. But I'm not trying to get you down. There's good news up in here. But I think too often is that we wanna sugarcoat some stuff, and if we sugarcoat it, then we're really not touching those who are dealing with these realities that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, one of the things that God wants us to be, y'all, is real.
Yeah. Amen.
We say Jesus is real.
Amen. Preach, brother.
So if he's real, and he's real in us, then we got to be real with one another.
Yes.
So as we look at this whole ball of wax of Christianity, Paul in 2 Thessalonians from chapters, this is a very short book.
Yeah.
It's an extremely short read. You can probably sit there and read this entire book in 10 minutes, 15, 20 at tops. Mm. You know, the reason why it might take you 20, because you stop and you look and ponder and go back and review it. But it's a short book. But when Paul wrote this to the Thessalonians, the whole purpose of writing it to them, you know, we've been preaching in this book, and it was not even my, you hear what I said, it wasn't my intent to go through this entire book.
All right.
But once I got started, God said, now this is where you are, this is where I want you to be, so just keep going. And when we looked at chapter 1 and we preached about chapter 1, the whole concept there was, hold your head up.
Yeah.
I didn't say lift your head up, because when you lift your head up, there are times you'll want to. But if you hold your head up, the whole concept of holding it up is this is where it is supposed to be up.
Yeah.
And not there. Because we understand that, we deal with persecution. We deal with mistakes. We deal with struggles. We deal with animosity. We deal with all these things. And then when we made our way to chapter 2, we came to realize that, yes, we ain't perfect. We ain't asked for this, but we're God's choice.
Amen.
And since we are God's choice, I don't care what you think about me. I'm God's choice.
Yeah.
You don't care about what they think about you, because you're God's choice.
That's right.
You didn't ask. You know, and you know, the interesting thing was, you didn't ask, God, make me this. God, make me that. God says, no, this is what I'm going to do with you, and this is how I'm going to do. So all we got to do was just go ahead and just run with it. And as we run with it, we're seeing what God is doing with us. And even in the process of doing that and knowing that we are God's choice, we still recognize that what we do and how we do it ain't easy. But we understand that it is not my will, but it's God's will.
That's right.
And as I do that, then I understand that what the Lord is going to do and how he's going to bring me through. And then when we got to chapter 3 earlier, just last week, we preached the first 5 verses. We preached that we are what? One. So since we are one, we don't hurt each other, we don't damage each other, we help one another, we move forward as one body in Christ, understanding that we are in this together, because when we come together as one people, there is nothing that can stop us, nothing that can block us, because I want you to know God can take a little and turn it into. But then we have verses 6 through 15. Mm-hmm. We just skipped over those verses. I looked at it, prayed about it, read the rest of the chapter, and God said, right here, I said, but God, look at 5 through 15, because in 5 through 15, what had happened was that the people were struggling. Mm-hmm. Because when Paul went there and preached about the gospel and told them that Jesus is coming back, they felt, well, since he's coming back, I ain't got to do nothing. Yeah. I ain't got to work no more.
Yeah.
And because of the fact, since he's coming, they felt that he's coming right away. So what Paul said is that, look, you ought to be working. If you're sitting down doing nothing, that's not the right idea. You have to understand there's still work to be done. God doesn't want a whole bunch of busybodies, folk that act like they're doing something but really ain't doing nothing. God wants folk who truly have their hands to the plow,
yes,
who are about doing the work, about being used by him, being blessed by him, guided by him in order to help somebody else. Because we recognize that if somebody hadn't kept their hands to the plow, we wouldn't be where we are right now. We are where we are because somebody shared the good news with us. And we want to continue to allow it to spread by not stopping with us, but continuing through us, because we understand that we serve a mighty good God, and we are never going to sit down and be sitting and waiting idly by for the Lord to come. When the Lord come to get us, we want him to know that, Lord, we've been at work, we're going to stay at work until you come back to get us. Because, Lord, didn't you work for me? Didn't you make a way for me? Didn't you heal me? Didn't you deliver me? Didn't you turn me around? Didn't you wake me up? Didn't you keep me going? I'm not able to do what I do because of who you are. I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, when we think about what God has done for us, we as his people can't sit down and just be quiet and do nothing.
That's wrong.
You see, we got to understand as we look at all this, what he does is he ends with this benediction. You know what a benediction is? To bestow blessings. What Paul is doing is bestowing a blessing on the people. You see, because Paul understands something about ministry. You see, because Paul realized that, you know, when you go back and look in the book of Acts in chapter 16 and back prior to that in 15, that Paul and Barnabas were out on the missionary journey proclaiming the gospel. And they took Barnabas' cousin Mark with them. And while they were out there working and stuff got a little tough. You know what Mark said? I give up.
Yeah.
I give up, y'all. Y'all go ahead. I'm going to see y'all. I can't deal with these folk no more.
That's
y'all go on and keep doing, but I'm going home. Bye.
That's right.
He saw how one had given up that he specifically talked about. There might have been others who he saw working with them who said, I got to give up. It ain't that they don't love the Lord. They just got frustrated with what they were doing. And sometimes when we can't see the results of what we're doing, don't we get a little frustrated when we can't see how the Lord is moving? Don't we wonder, Lord, are you really doing this? Or is this something that I'm trying to do? But one of the things that Paul says is when you know that God is with you and that God is blessing you, you won't ever think about giving up. So he says, let me bestow this blessing upon you. And the blessing he bestows upon them is this. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and always. You know the one thing that we need in order to make it on this Christian journey is peace. And there have been times when we tried to get peace from stuff.
Come on.
Had a hard day's work. Mm-hmm. Let me sit down and take a drink. I ain't talking about Kool-Aid. I ain't talking about Gatorade.
Preach, brother.
I ain't talking about cranberry juice. I ain't talking about orange juice. Well, you might have some orange juice with something else in it. Amen. It might be 60 proof, 80 proof, 90 proof, 150 proof. But you need something to help calm your nerves because you've had a hard day. You just want to wind it down a little bit. So you just want to have a little peace of mind. So let me go on and take one drink. And the next thing you know, the one drink then turned into two drinks, which turned into three drinks. Before you know it, the whole fifth is gone. And you sitting there and you don't woke up the next morning with a splitting headache. and say, I can't believe I did all this, but I got to get up, go to work now. You go to work, they pluck your nerves one more time. You come back home, you buy another fifth. I'm not going to drink the whole fifth, just a drink out of the fifth. But before you know it, I want you to know the entire bottle's gone again. And then this process becomes a reoccurring process. But maybe you realize it ain't the drink thing. Maybe it's you go on and you go and get them plants that you can go and dry them out a little bit. And then you buy some paper that called bamboo on it. You roll them up. You just smoke one. And the next thing you know, you're gonna smoke two, and before you know it, you're gonna smoke four or five. But and then you wonder why you're so hungry and why you keep gaining weight, because you've been getting the munchies, and all you want to do is eat. But then you say, I don't want to mess around with that. I just go on and get me some white line fever, where I just take a little razor blade, I cut it up a little bit, make a nice little line. I take a dollar bill, roll it up real good, and then I just snort it up real good. And before I know it, yeah, it make me feel good. Whereas I started out just doing one line, but now I'm up to four lines. Sometimes it's five lines, and then I'm frustrated because now I'm looking. I'm like, I used to put some money away. Now I ain't got no money in my savings because all my extra money is going on to that little stuff that I'm snorting up my nose. Right. You see, because before I know it, because I've been trying to find peace and all kind of stuff, but the stuff I'm trying to find peace in, it ain't helping me. It's just pulling stuff out of me. It's sucking the life out of me.
Yeah. Said you was gonna tell the truth. You telling it, brother.
But what we gotta do is find out how to get real peace.
Yeah.
A peace that doesn't rob us of our life.
Yeah.
A peace that doesn't break us in our pocket.
Yeah.
A peace that doesn't put us at odds with our spouses and our children.
Yeah.
Because when they see us come home, the first thing they want to do is, like a roach when the light come on, they scared. Because they know that you come in with that brown bag, or they know you come in with something in your pocket, and you go to the back room whistling, then all of a sudden, you know, you're doing something else back there. Or they see you, they're like, ah, nah, he about to do his thing, I'm out.
Yeah. Mm. Help up, messing up.
Mm. Because we're trying to get peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But the peace that we're trying to get is hurting us.
Right.
It ain't helping us.
Yes, sir.
And before you know it, it has torn you down.
Everything is gone.
Mm. Mm. And in the long run, those things you're trying to get peace in, they cause you to give up. But when if you want real peace, peace that'll last, peace that will allow you to maintain all of your faculties, a peace that will allow you to say hallelujah anyhow, a peace that will allow you to understand that even in the midst of my tears, I serve a mighty good God. A peace that will allow you to continue to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. What I want you to see, and he says here in verse number 16, now may the Lord of peace. Check this out again. He says, himself give you peace. At few times. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. I got excited when I was reading.
Well,
he said, gave you peace at what time? And in what? So what God wants for us, y'all, is peace. But you know why we struggle with peace? Can we talk about, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor.
I want you to stay with
him.
You see, in order for us to truly attain this peace, I want you to understand that the one thing we got to learn how to do is trust.
Okay.
And who do we need to trust? God.
That's right.
We need to trust God. Why do we need to trust God? Because God saw something in you that you didn't see in yourself. God put you up out that miry clay. Right. God turned your life around. God pulled you up off that curve. Mm. God came and see about you when nobody else would. God is the one that made you whole again. God is the one that's blessing you right now. God is the one that got you combing your
Thank
hair.
You, Lord.
God is the one that
Thank
got you to
you.
Put a suit on. God is the one that allowed you to get up and go to work every single day. God is the one who has been there with you through thick and through thin. So since God has put his trust in you, God wants us to trust in him. You see, when we call ourselves the people of God, the one thing we got to learn how to do is what?
Trust.
You see, because when we trust God, I want you to know it ain't nothing better than trusting God. You see, but I want you to understand, it ain't like your friend down the street who you might call him and say, can I trust you with something? You know, they're going to say,
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say about that. Amen. You see, but I want you to know, when you put your trust in God, You ain't got to ever worry about losing anything. You ain't ever got to worry about folk knowing about all your stuff. When you put your trust in God, you know for a fact that God's got your back, your front, your top, your bottom, your left, and your right. When you put your trust in God, you know for a fact that the Lord is going to make a way out of no way. You see, when you put your trust in God, you come to realize just how good our God is. Do I got a witness in God's time? You see, through us putting our trust in God, it allows us to have hope. Hope in knowing that no matter how many doors have been closed on me, the Lord's going to open up the door that I need. No matter what tries to come against me, I got the hope of knowing that the Lord will take care of me. I have the hope of knowing that even when I go through some storms in my life, I know that the Lord will see me through. I know that I don't care how much the water rises. I don't care how much the wind blows. I don't care what happens around me. Once I have my hope in Jesus and I am planted upon the rock, I want you to know, can't nothing knock me down. Can't nothing stop me, because I am on the rock of ages, and that rock has been there and it will continue to be the cornerstone of this church. And if the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, I want you to know, look all around you. Well, I see church, church, church. Every one of us in here is a church, because all of us are a temple, and what dwells in this temple is God's Holy Spirit. So right. Don't you know, that's we don't go to church, we take the church preach, with us. Brother. And since the church is with us, that means the enemy ain't gonna come against us. He can try all they want, but God said the gates of hell shall not
prevail.
You see, that's all possible because we have hope.
Yes, sir, brother.
And when you got hope, you can see the positive when all folks see is negative. When you have hope, you can see what it will be. What all folks see is what it is.
Yeah.
When you have hope, you can see the potential in folk around you. Rather than just seeing what they're doing right now. You see, when you have hope, you understand that no matter what goes on, God will fix it.
Yes,
yes,
he
will.
Because it's all because we have. You see, since I can trust God, I have hope in God, then I know God loves me. Look at somebody around you. Look at somebody and say, God love me.
God love me.
Come on, y'all ain't do it. Look at somebody and say, God loves me.
God loves me.
You see, it's important for you to say that. And when you look at your neighbor, look at your neighbor again and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
I ain't perfect.
I ain't perfect.
But God loves me.
God loves
now you felt a little better about that one then?
Yeah.
Some of us can't. How can God love me? I ain't perfect. I got issues. I got this. But so what? God still loves me. I mean, ain't but one person, perfect person that walked on this earth. And his name was Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I want you to know, ain't no Jesus in here. We are ambassadors for Jesus. So that means that we still have some imperfections. But that's all right, because I know that God loves me. And how does God love me? Just the way I am. And I am so thankful he loved me just the way I am. That doesn't mean I'm going to stay the way I am. But God loves me in the state that I am in right now. When you understand that God loves you in your current state, then you understand that God can now do something with you. When you realize that the God that we serve can take you just the way you are. And he can turn your life around. He can make you better than what you thought you ever could be. You see, that's why God loves us. And when you know how good God is and how much God loves you, you don't care what folks say about you, because they're going to talk about you one way or another. But I know for a fact that God loves me. And you got to remind yourself that God loves you.
Thank you.
I'm so glad.
You see, it's important for the people of God to know.
Boy, I'm so glad.
How much God loves us. Because when you know that God loves you, you know, it don't care what other folks say.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
I recognize that I ain't dot all my I's and cross all my T's. But I know one thing. I'm dotting more I's and crossing more T's than what I used to. And you know what? And as long as I keep living, I'm going to be dotting more I's and crossing more T's. Then I'm going to do it more and more. Why? Because I know God loves me. I understand I have some imperfections, but I'm working every day to be better than what I was on yesterday because I serve a mighty good God. Why? Because God loves me. And how does he love me? Just. I might not be all out of bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side, but God loves me, and he loves me what? Just.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, Pastor, what does that have to do with peace?
Yeah.
Deacon Diane, I'm glad to ask. You know what it has to do with peace? You see, I want you to understand something. Whenever you want to give somebody a gift, what do you do with it more times than not before you give it to them? You go buy it, and then what do? You wrap it up. Well, I want you to understand something. That there are three pieces to this wrapping paper called gift. We call peace. And you know what those three pieces are? It's called trust. It's called hope. And it's called love. And when you wrap trust, hope, and love together, you know what you get? Oh, somebody going to work with you. Somebody about to work with you. You see, if you're going to have God's peace, you got to have trust, you got to have hope, and you got to have love. You see, and then some of us wondering why we walk around worrying all the time. Because guess what? I wonder how much you trust in him. I wonder how much you're hoping in him. I wonder how much love you have for him. Because God is trust, God is hope, God is love. And if you take those three together, you get what?
Peace.
You see, and when you got all three of those together, no matter what comes your way, you won't give
up. Amen. Preach it, brother.
Are you working with me?
Oh, yeah.
You see, God wants us, my brothers and my sisters, to make sure that we have this peace. And you know the beauty about the peace that God has for us? Let me tell you what the beauty is. The beauty is this. It's with us all times. And it's with us in all ways. So you don't ever have to wonder, wherever you are, can I have peace on this job? Yes. Can I have peace in this marriage? Yes.
Oh yeah.
Can I have peace dealing with them kids?
Yeah.
Yes. Can I have peace while I'm going through the storm? Yes. Can I have peace when they talk about me?
Yes.
Can I have peace while I am allowing the Lord to use me to his glory and honor?
Yes.
You see, when you understand that it's in all ways and in all things, you know what I want you to know? There's nothing that can stop us from reaching what God wants us to be. When we understand that the peace that God has given us is so awesome, and it is able to help us. But let me share it to you like this. When we talk about God's peace, Jesus gave us a perfect example.
Mercy.
You know, there was a time when Jesus got on the boat with his 12 disciples. And when they got on the boat, Jesus said, you know what, I'm tired. He went in the back of the boat. I would give you the full illustration, but I ain't laying down right now.
That's all right. That's all right. Take your time, Pastor.
He was laying down. See, because, you know, folk walk on the floors and stuff, you know. I just can't. I go on my knees, but I just can't lay there. I just can't. But. Jesus went to the back of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
He went to sleep. And once he went to sleep, Reverend Rhodes,
yes, sir.
All of a sudden, the waves started hitting.
Yeah.
Why? Because the wind started blowing hard.
Yeah.
That was letting them know that a storm was on the way. And as they're looking at what's going on, I guarantee you, a few of them, Brother Freeman, looked back there at Jesus. They looked at Jesus and talking about, how in the world he's still asleep? I can barely stand up good. Then all of a sudden, they see the dark clouds heading their way. And the wind is getting stronger and the waves are getting harder and a little bit of the water is now coming into the boat. And then a couple of them still looking at Jesus and brother sister say, how is he still asleep? Lord, he's starting to snore a little bit. How can he do this right now? All this is about to happen around us, but But then all of a sudden, when the dark clouds covered them, and the thunder started clapping, the lightning started flashing, and it was raining like it was buckets.
Oh, man.
And the waves are hitting up against the boat. And they look bare back at Jesus, and he's still sleeping. You know, some of y'all got a good rhythm when y'all sleep. But I ain't gonna mess with you on that. But he was sleeping good. And as he was sleeping good, his disciples were sitting there trying to fight everything. They were trying to fix everything. They were trying to get the water out the boat, but Jesus never moved from where he was. But don't you know the boat rocking the way it was?
Yeah.
Deacon Elwood, it's like putting a baby in a bassinet and you wanted to go to sleep. When you put it in the bassinet, what do you do to the bassinet? The whole purpose of rocking it is to create a rhythm and cause the child to fall asleep. You see, what they didn't realize was the storm was just causing a rhythm. And Jesus was treating it like it was a bassinet. And all he did was continue to sleep. But his disciples couldn't understand. And it seemed like all hell was breaking loose. How is it that Jesus was able to sleep through this? But then, Sister Rose, I want you to know that they went over to Jesus and said, Jesus, wake up!
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How can you sleep right now? You don't care if we die out here?
Yeah.
And then Jesus stood up and just stretched. Oh, y'all of little faith. What is y'all problem? Then he walks up to the front of the boat. He says, peace to the wind. He says to the waves, don't you dare come up here no more. Be still.
What kind of man is this?
And then they looking at him all flabbergasted. And then he called them like, where's your faith? But you know what that's telling us, my brothers and sisters? That when you are going through some storms, when the enemy is trying to think he's rocking your boat, you got to treat it like Jesus treated it. Just go on and take a nap. Because you got the peace of God. Why? Because you trust him. Why? Because your hope is in him. Why? Because you love him. And you know he loves you. So no matter what goes on, I'm going to have peace in my life.
That's right.
And since I'm going to have peace, I won't give up.
Hallelujah, brother. Hallelujah.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And then hold on, let me give you this last piece before you get excited. Because I'm about to get excited myself. As we look at the second sentence in chapter 6, in verse 16, he says, the Lord be with you all. Be with all of you, excuse me. You know why he says that? Because he wants them to understand. Again, the benediction is bestowing a blessing. He is saying, I want the Lord to be with you. But in essence, what he is saying to them and reiterating to them, that the Lord ain't ever going to leave you.
Right.
You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you know how good God is, when you know that he has your best interests at heart, you ain't ever got to look for where the Lord is, because he's always right there. You see, when you understand how the Lord has made a difference in your life, it is left up to you to be able to move forward in God's peace. Because you understand that you wouldn't have peace until you learn how to trust, until you learn how to have hope, until you embrace the love that God has for you and you have for God. And when you wrap it all together, what do you get, my brothers and sisters? Peace. And I want you to know that when we have peace, where we can do great things in the name of Jesus, because we understand that we serve a mighty good God. He's made a difference in us, and he's calling us to be difference makers. So don't you dare ever walk around thinking that it's time to give up, but you better say, I ain't giving up now. I've come too far. I ain't going to turn back, but I'm going to give God the glory. I'm going to continue to walk by faith and not by sight, because the Lord has brought me a mighty long way. He's taken me even further. Do I got a witness in God's house? Has the Lord been good to you? Is the Lord blessing you? Is the Lord guiding you? Is he been with you through thick and through thin? I'm saying, don't you dare give up, because he has you on his heart and in his mind. So what I'm saying to you, my brothers and my sisters, you can make it. You can go forward. Don't you dare give up. And I want you right now, reach out to three folks, touch him by the hand and say, don't give up.
Don't give up, brother.
You see, our God is a mighty good God. He has brought us through thick and through thin. We wouldn't be where we are if it had not been for the Lord. Because God took a little and he turned it into a... You see, when we know how good he is, we got
everything.
In the midst,
when you got him,
we got everything we need, my brother.
Yes.
We got everything we need, my sister. Let us all rise to our feet. We have everything that we need. And since we have everything that we need, I want you to know there's no reason for you to use any kind of external resources to think you need peace with. If your peace does not begin with God and stay with God and end with God, then we're going to have some struggle. Now, do we face some struggles? Yes. Yeah. Do we have some moments where we just feel a little down on ourselves? Yeah. Yes. But the one thing that we've learned is that, we will always have some dips. But I'm just so thankful that God pulls us back up.
Thank you, Lord.
And the reason why is because he cares so much about us. Because when we put our trust in him, he does the miraculous. He does the extraordinary with the ordinary. So what I'm saying to you today, even if you've been beating yourself up, you thought about giving up. I say now, giving up is out of the question.
That's right.
It's not even part of the equation any longer. You realize God loves me too much to give up on me.
Come on, man.
And since God won't give up on me, I can't give up on myself.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
I hear you. I hear you.
So whatever negativity you were putting on you, it's time to take it off.
Yeah,
you might be dealing with stuff. Yeah, you might be going through an illness. Yeah, you might be dealing with some stuff at home. But don't ever let anything rob what it didn't give to you. Only God gave you the peace. Move in that peace. Don't give up. Paul bestowed a blessing on the Thessalonians. And he bestowed that same blessing upon us
right now.
Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace in all ways and in all things. So I'm here to tell you today, the Lord's going to be with all of us. So don't give up. Grab somebody by the hand right now. Grab somebody by the hand right now. And you know why I'm having you grab them by the hand? I want you to look at them. And as you look at them, look them in the eye and say to them, I care about you.
I care about you.
I will not turn my back on you. So please, don't do it.
Don't do it.
To me.
To me.
Right. Let them run.
That's right. That's right. Love one another. Oh, yeah.
We're not going to give up. We're all in this together.
Yeah.
We're here to help one another.
Oh, yeah.
Because we are